11. The joy of the Lord really is our strength. In His presence is fullness of joy. Thank you, James, for that time of worship. It's just so good to worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When we worship God, we're breaking through
right.
the spiritual realm, and we broke through tonight. And I believe what God wants me to share tonight is running complementary to the message that He's been bringing to Donnie, and He's been talking to us about power and the word of His power. And we've had God coming to us, talking to us about arising. And many years ago, God spoke that word to me from Isaiah in that time of apathy. He just spoke to me about that, about shaking myself free, captive daughter of Zion, and awakening out of my slumber. And God is calling His church to awaken out of their slumber. And tonight, I believe He wants me to look at one of the tools that He uses to lose His power on this earth, and that tool is the power of prayer.
Amen.
We're going to spend some time looking at some points to do with prayer tonight, and can start by looking at James chapter 5, and this is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. James chapter 5, reading from verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Mm-hmm. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And here's my favorite bit.
Yes.
The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman, James.
Amen.
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And in the Amplified, which I love this version, it reads, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available.
Wow.
Dynamic in its working. Tremendous power available. That's what the effective prayer of a righteous man or woman releases on this earth. Power. We need power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking yesterday about the black houses. And on our island, our ancestors lived in black houses. And then they went from the black houses to the white houses. And in the black houses, they had no electricity. Everything was done. They had the peat fire, and everything was cooked on the peat fire, and everything was done. And it was hard. It was hard work to do everything that had to be done. They had no hoovers. They had no washing machines. They had none of the mod cons that we have today. They had no electric showers. They had no kettles. Everything was an effort. It was all hard work, hard labor. And then they went to the White House. And in the White House, there was electricity. And you know, all we have to do to lose the power of electricity is to flick a switch.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the tremendous power that is behind that socket right now, but if we don't flick the switch, that power is never made available.
That's right.
And Johnny was talking this morning about the scripture in the Bible that talks about those people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. There's another group of people, and those are the people that have a form of godliness, acknowledge the power thereof, but never walk in the fullness of that power. And I believe God is calling us to walk in the fullness of the power that He makes available to us. But we have to flick this switch. You know, there are the works of our flesh, and we can strive and we can try and work things of ourselves, and it takes so much effort. With God, it's minimum effort for maximum output.
Amen.
We
Hallelujah.
Just
Amen.
Have to flick the switch on. Let's not be like the Amish, sitting in a society where they can have everything, in a generation where they can have everything available to them, but they choose to live like it was 100, 200 years ago. They're making that choice. How bizarre to have all this available and not access it. How bizarre that God's people have all His power freely available, yet choose not to access it. 1 James chapter 5, there we are in verse 16. What is that about? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That word effectual is the Greek word energio. So
that's right.
Says it all. Energio. Energy. Now, when we pray, and it's not about works, remember, minimum effort for
that's
maximum
right.
output.
Hallelujah.
It's not about striving, but it's about a bit of work, a bit of energy. We have to put a bit of effort into it, because that word literally means to be effectual, fervent, be mighty in, show forth self, work effectually in. We have to show a bit of energy in our prayers. That word availeth is the Greek word eskuo. And it literally means to have or exercise force, be able, can do, might, prevail, be of strength, be whole, plus much work. That's what the translation says.
Jesus.
So we're going to have to put some energy in to see the power of God released. You know, that translation, effective fervent prayer, I used to get really excited about that word fervent, because it literally means to bring to the boil. And I would get so excited about it, and I would share about this, that when we pray, we have to pray in such a way that we're bringing things to the boil. Do you know that word fervent isn't actually in the original Greek? It's been put in by the translators. It's not there. And I got a little bit disappointed about that. But we still have to work things up to bring it to the boil in the Spirit. And we'll see that in a wee while. We still have to be fervent in our prayer life. Energy, it's about passion. It's about sincerity. We have to be sincere when we come before God in prayer. Sincerity is the absence of pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. You know, I truly believe that if God's church got a hold of the reality that prayer produces power, dynamic in its working.
Hallelujah.
If we truly got a hold of that, there would be a seismic shift in the landscape within the church and within society. And how do we know that the church hasn't got a hold of this truth yet? Because you only have to go to any church on this island and probably across this nation, and the one meeting that is going to be the worst attended is the prayer meeting. The church hasn't got a hold of the reality. We pray the words, but are we sincere in what we pray? Are we sincere in what we believe, that our God is able? Spurgeon, it was said, that prayer meetings are the boiler room of the church. If there's no heat in the boiler room, there's going to be no heat in the church. And the world needs the church to start getting hot. The world needs the church to start producing and releasing the power of God.
Yes, Father. Hallelujah.
John Bunyan said, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart.
Wow.
We need to get passionate.
Yes.
It's not about speaking a million billion words. You know, when I pray, I love to get excited and start shouting. I love that. But you know, you can pray and shout and scream and all that in the flesh and produce absolutely nothing. That's what he meant. It's better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. God is looking for us to get passionate in our prayers.
Hallelujah.
Prayer matters to God. How do we know that prayer matters to God? Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that the aroma of heaven is the prayer of the saints. How beautiful that around the throne are the bowls containing the prayers of the saints. That is the aroma. Of all the aromas God could have chosen, he chose the aroma of the prayers of his people, the incense in the bowls. But what does incense need in order to produce an aroma? It needs to be lit. It needs to be set on fire. And that's what I'm talking about, where when I was disappointed that the word fervent didn't appear in the original Greek, we know that that fervor, that fire, is required to cause the incense to smell before our God. He is looking for passion in our prayers, for life in our prayers. Other ways we know prayer matters to God is because Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 tells us that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Prayer matters so much to God that Jesus is continuously praying. How incredible is that? Jesus is continually praying before the Father for me and for you. Someone said that Jesus had 30 years of living, 3 years of service, one tremendous act of dying, and he's then gone on to spend 2,000 years in prayer. What an emphasis on prayer. 2,000 years of praying for me and for you. Prayer matters to God. And not only is Jesus praying, but Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 tells us that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us.
Hallelujah.
And through
yes,
us.
Lord.
The Son and the Holy Spirit are coming before the Father, interceding continuously on our behalf. Prayer matters, people. We need to be busy praying. Prayer develops our relationship with God. When we spend time in prayer, we are growing in our relationship with him. Jesus taught us how to pray.
Yes, Lord.
Our Father. We know him as our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For many years, early years of my father's life, he thought God was called Harold.
Oh!
It wasn't Harold, it was Hallowed.
Oh.
Hallowed be thy name. A good old-fashioned word, holy is the name of the Lord. And when we come to know God more, we know him as our Father, but we also know that he is holy. He is a holy God. And we come before him, we come boldly into his throne room, but we come reverently before our Father. We bring our requests, our petitions to him, and then we rest. For a long time, I used to talk about prayer as if it was just having a conversation with God. And you know, that's true, but then last year I spent a number of months studying prayer. And when I went in and started to really study prayer in the original Hebrew and Greek, when you go in and look at what the word pray literally means, let me give you some examples. To intercede, entreat, make supplication, beseech, to bow before him, pray and worship, go really closely together.
Yes,
when we pray, we're worshiping, and when we worship, we can pray.
That's right.
We are praying to God through many of those songs tonight in worship. It means to inquire, request, demand. That word's incredible.
Yeah.
Pray means demand. We can come before God and He invites us to demand of Him, to ask, beg, borrow, lay to charge, desire, request, require, beseech. It's all about begging, asking. This is what God is constantly inviting us to do, to come to His presence, and not just sit having a conversation, but to bring our petitions and our requests before Him. And He invites us to pray constantly. He tells us to ask and keep on asking.
Keep on asking.
In fact, He even tells us to give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem on this earth.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's incredible.
Jesus.
Give Him no rest. Request. Put our petitions before Him. But then, once we've done all the requesting, we need to spend some time resting in His presence. Because once we've done all the asking, we need to spend some time listening to what He has to say.
Yes, Lord.
And that moment when we're just before Him in stillness, in worship, in adoration, we put everything before Him, and then we just spend that time. And as we spend that time with Him, the more time we spend with Him, the more we will become like Him. That is the reality. We must spend time with God. It takes discipline. And it's not to get all religious about it. You know, we were talking about John Samuel, the guy
John
from Korea. Joshua Paul, that was his name. And he told you that if you didn't rise up, was it 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock to pray, you were a lazy sluggard. Well, I have to make a confession before you all tonight that I am a lazy sluggard. And I've tried getting up early in the morning. I tried, and I've paced up and down the sitting room floor, and I've prayed everything I could think of, every single issue I could think of, because I was determined I was going to pray for an hour. And then you open your eyes and you have a wee peek at the clock after praying for every single thing you can think of. 10 minutes after 5. Why am I going to pray about for the other 50 minutes? I'm thinking in my head. So you start praying in tongues, and how wonderful for tongues. And I'm pacing up and down to try and stay awake, because if I know if I sit down, I'm going to fall back asleep again. And I've come to the conclusion, after trying that so many times, I am just not a morning person. I'm not. In the evening, I can come before God and spend as much time with Him as I want. But in the morning, and I used to get so condemned about that, but you know, I don't get condemned about that anymore. Because God just wants me to come to Him. You know, He wants me to spend that time with Him. And it doesn't totally matter when I spend that time with Him.
Right.
You know, I can just pray that quick prayer in the morning as I'm getting ready. You know, one of the best places I find to pray is in the car. I'm sure most of us feel like that. When you're driving in the car, that's a fantastic place to pray. But all throughout the day, every situation that's arising, He just wants us to constantly be bringing that before Him, to have an attitude of constant prayer and developing that relationship with Him. He cares, He is concerned about every little pernickety part of our lives. He cares about everything going on, because He's our Father, and He is a good, good Father.
Amen.
Another aspect of prayer is that prayer keeps us from sinning. We turn to Luke chapter 22. Here we have the account in the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 40, it says, when He came to the place, that's Jesus, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And then he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. You know, Jesus needed to pray, and he constantly went before his Father praying. And Jesus needed to pray. How much more do we need to pray? Yeah. Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Yeah. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Sleeping from sorrow. Remember that where I shared last time about the burdens and how the enemy is always seeking to put burdens on us. And that word sorrow speaks of being burdened. The disciples were so burdened that they just went to sleep to get away from it all. And the enemy is going to keep trying to heap those burdens on us to stop us from praying and get us to get back into that place of slumber and apathy. And then Jesus said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And when it's talking there about entering into temptation, I believe Jesus is saying, yes, you know, pray, our Father shall in heaven, and then it says, lead us not into temptation. We're not just praying that we won't be tempted, but remember, temptation is not sin, because Jesus was tempted. But I believe what it's talking about is entering in to that temptation. The temptation is there, and that word enter is speaking about opening the door to that temptation. So we need to pray that when the temptation comes, we're not going to open the door to it. We're going to slam that door firmly shut and not give in to the temptation. Prayer will keep us from entering into that temptation. Prayer also helps us to know God's will. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 reads, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. What a promise.
Amen.
If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So what is God's will? How do we know what God's will is? Well, it gives us his will in his word.
Amen.
His word reveals his will to us. But his word doesn't tell us about those little specifics in life. There are always situations that arise in life that we're just not quite sure. Lord, is it your will for me to have this job? Lord, is it your will for me to enter into this relationship? Lord, is it your will for me to go to this church or that church? I was reading something last night that really made me think, because I used to, when I thought about the will of God, and there's a scripture that talks about in the spirit ruling as an umpire in your heart, the peace of God ruling as an umpire. And I used to think, well, if I have peace about a situation, that means that it's God's will. And then I read something last night that really made me think, because it said, think of the times when God asks you to do something and your heart starts pounding and you start feeling sick about it. For instance, he might tell you to go and speak to that complete stranger and tell them that he loves them. Do you have peace about that?
No.
The complete opposite. There isn't any part of you that wants to do it. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, sometimes maybe I'm thinking it's God's will because I have peace about it, but maybe the peace is a false peace. And the peace is actually that I don't want to do it. So I choose not to do it, and the peace is that false peace, whereas God's will makes me uncomfortable sometimes. But it's his will. And we want to get to know his will. And John Wesley said, this is a good quote, I find that the chief purpose of prayer in seeking God's will is that prayer gets my will into an unbiased state. Once my will is unprejudiced about the matter, I find God suggests reasons to my mind why I should or should not pursue a course. So what we're doing when we're praying is we're asking God to take away all the bias that's in our minds and make our minds neutral so that he can start to reveal his will fully to us. Remember, Psalm 37 tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord and he will give us the desires of our heart.
Yes,
and of course, that's not just talking about giving us everything that we want.
Yeah.
It's talking about he puts the desire in us. He gives us the right desire.
Yes,
he will lead us in his will if we pray and seek his will. And not only does prayer help us to find God's will, but prayer releases God's will. James chapter 4 verse 2 tells us, you have not because you ask not. I think Donnie mentioned that this morning. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. That's the bias. That's us wanting our will, trying to put our will onto God. You have not because you ask not. We need to ask. Ask and keep on asking. That's what the Bible tells us. And what are we asking? We're asking God that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that prayer is like a channel, a conduit, a pipe, however you want to think of it, that allows a cable, that allows God's power and his will to flow from heaven to earth.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus prayed, and he taught us to pray, thy will be done on
earth Lord.
In heaven. Why would he have prayed that unless prayer is what is going to release that power from heaven to earth? Prayer is the conduit that releases, enables God's will to be carried from heaven to earth.
Yes, Lord.
Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 tells us, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So we get to know what God's will is, and then we start to pray his will into being. And we're going to pray that believing what his word says. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance, I don't know if you've heard this before. If you have, forgive me, but it's good to be reminded. I believe God wants to encourage us tonight into prayer.
Yes, Father.
That word substance is the word hypostasis. That's the original Greek. And when the translators came to translate this word hypostasis, they were a little confused because they weren't 100% sure what it meant. So what they did was they looked at what made up the two parts of the word hupo, which meant under, and status, which comes from a word meaning covenant, hold up, or stand. And they took those two words and they looked at the idea of standing under something or something underneath holding something up. And they decided to translate that word as foundation or confidence. But when you look at it in context, it doesn't actually fit very well, this idea of foundation or confidence. So it was left like that. But then, in the late 19th century, a Scottish archaeologist by the name of Sir William Ramsay, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, he discovered this Egyptian casket. I'm not sure where the dig was. But inside this casket was a scroll. I don't know if there was more than one scroll. And this scroll, when they translated it, was the title deed to property owned by a lady called Dionysus. And there was some sort of court case going on, it became apparent from what was in the writing. So they translated all of this, and it was about her property. And at the top of this document was written the word
hupostasis.
And when they discovered that, they realized that what the word hupostasis means is title deed. That's what the scroll was. It was the title deed to her property. Now, the word title deed, what is a title deed? The deed constituting the evidence of a person's legal ownership. That's what a title deed is. It constitutes the evidence of a person's legal ownership. So let's put that back into Hebrews. When we come to God in prayer, when we come in faith, we are coming in with the substance of things hoped for. We are coming with a title deed of everything that is ours in Christ Jesus in our hand. We are coming with the hupostasis of everything that the Word says is ours. How incredible. He has given us the title deed to the things that we hope for. He is such an incredible God. And we don't want to limit our prayers, because it's not just about the things that we hope for, but He's able to do exceedingly above all the things that we hope for. So let's not limit Him. Let's start to pray big. Let's start to pray boldly. Let's start to pray incredible prayers. And when we've got as bold as we think we can go, let's give more. Let's get stronger. Let's ask for more. And allow God to stir our spirit and stir our thinking so that we start to pray prayers in line with what He wants and what He wants to bring on this earth. And finally, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, prayer is part of our spiritual armor.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'd love to go into the armor of God, but we don't really have time. You know, prayer is such a massive subject, and I'm just trying to give a little tiny bit tonight, but just encourage us. Encourage myself. I need encouragement to pray. We all need encouragement to pray. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Has anybody noticed we're in a war? There's a bit of a battle going on.
Just a bit.
James was sharing tonight that Jesus is our champion.
Yeah.
And the enemy, he's our defeated foe. But, oh man, he is not giving in without a fight. He keeps rearing his ugly head at every opportunity. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. When people come and get at us and seek to pull us down and seek to offend us and seek to destroy us, we're not wrestling against them, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the first ones there, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, they're all defensive parts
mm-hmm.
of the armour. They're all to defend it. The sword is offensive. The sword of the Spirit
right.
is an offensive
mm-hmm.
piece of our weapon.
Yeah.
And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And sometimes we can stop there, but you know, it carries on.
Yeah.
It says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints
mm-hmm.
and for me, mm-hmm. Paul goes on. But praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. Prayer is part of our spiritual armor. Now, I hope you can take this in the spirit that it's meant. Because when we talk about the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is offensive, amazing, our words can only reach as far as the people who hear them. A sword can only reach so far.
Mm-hmm.
Might be able to throw it, but it's only going to reach so far. So the Word of God is amazing. But it's a little limited.
Yeah.
Prayer. Prayer has no limits. You in this room tonight, my words have only been heard by you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe anyone who might listen to it online. That's as far as my words are going to reach. But my prayers tonight, our prayers tonight,
mm-hmm.
can go across this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayers tonight can go into palaces. Our
yeah.
prayers tonight
yeah.
can go into Downing Street,
yeah.
into
yeah.
the White House.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
try getting in there
yeah.
to speak to them, no chance. Our prayers
yes.
can go in there. Our prayers can go to China.
Yeah.
Our prayers can go to Russia.
Yeah.
Our prayers can go into hospitals.
Yeah.
Our prayers can go into that house down the street
yeah.
that we
yeah.
can't get into.
Yeah.
Our prayers can go anywhere and do anything in the Spirit. You see, the Word is a sword, but our prayers
Hallelujah.
Are like intercontinental ballistic missiles
wow.
in the spiritual realm. We really need to get a
hold
of how important and effective
yeah.
our prayers are. They are intercontinental ballistic missiles. When we fire them off, they can go anywhere. They are heat-seeking missiles as well. They seek it out, what it is that they're looking for, and they hit spot on. Spot on. That's what they are. They are so incredibly powerful and effective. But you know, there's more. There's more, because there's so much to prayer, so much
yeah.
that I don't have time to go into tonight. I just want us to consider some aspects of prayer. Now, when we pray and fast, you know, I read years ago David Wilkerson saying that he met a member of the Church of Satan, and they told him that Satanists pray and fast, that Christians will not pray and fast. That's mind-blowing. The Church of Satan is praying and fasting, and we won't pray and fast, because the devil knows how powerful praying and fasting is. When we pray and when we fast in faith, earnestly, on fire,
mm-hmm.
passionate, zealous, led by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
really important. Remember, we're not in all the works of
Hallelujah.
The flesh.
Jesus.
We're not like boiling, taking the water
no.
in and
no.
boiling the water on the peat fire anymore. We're flicking the switch.
Amen.
Minimum
right.
effort
yes,
for
Lord.
Maximum output. Praying, being led by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That includes speaking in tongues.
Yes,
praise
Lord.
God for the power of speaking in tongues.
When
we agree corporately, the power that is in the prayer of agreement is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's really hard to pray on your own. That's why we all need a prayer partner.
I know, it's right.
We all need
yeah.
someone who we can get alongside. And see, when you start praying with someone else, the prayers just seem to flow.
Right.
See that 10 minutes you struggled to do at 6 o'clock in the morning?
That's right.
If you had someone else there, you could pray for 10 hours. Because something happens when we pray corporately. So when we pray and fast and faith earnestly with passion, led by the Holy Spirit, agreeing corporately and persevering, keep on praying. Keep on asking, keep on seeking. When we persevere and we do it all in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we do it all in His name, do you know what collectively all that is doing in the spirit realm? We've gone beyond the realm of intercontinental. We are talking a nuclear bomb.
Hallelujah. Yes,
and I tell you tonight, if you don't know it, and I'm quite sure you do, this island needs a nuclear bomb.
Amen.
We have been chipping away for years. We have been hammering away at the wall. It's time to put the hammers down and start releasing nuclear bombs into the spiritual realm, because the strongholds are strong. It's a tough nut to crack. Just ask Donnie. What a faithful man Donnie is. I always uphold him for his faithfulness. He's never quit going on and on year after year. It's a tough nut to crack, this island. The strongholds of tradition and religion, they are coming down. Because the saints of God will start leading nuclear bombs of prayer all over our island. Do you know one megaton, or one megaton nuclear bomb will destroy 80 square miles? One nuclear bomb in the spiritual realm will destroy the enemy's hold on this island.
Jesus.
Two to deliver you in Shambhala. And then we can start working on Scotland and the rest of the United Kingdom and the rest of the world. God is stirring His people to pray. It's time to stop praying dead prayers. It's time to allow the passion of God to be released in our hearts, to burn with zeal, to pray fervent prayer, to have that incense set ablaze, that that sweet aroma rises into the nostrils of our Heavenly Father. It's time to get a hold of prayer. You know, Lord, I just pray that from now on, Wednesday prayer meetings will just be completely
Lord. Hallelujah.
On fire for God.
Pray on, Lord.
God is really starting to move. Can you sense it? He's really starting to move. He's starting to set His people free. He doesn't just want to visit us. He's looking for a habitation. He has called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. That is what we are called to be. And it's time to see it happen.
Yes, Lord.
All the promises of God are
yes, and amen.
In Christ Jesus, we hold the title deed in our hands.
He said,
He will do in Jesus' name. He is just seeking a people. He's just looking for a people who will believe. And my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways. My face, pray. I will heal their land.
Yes,
oh God, let it come, Lord. Let it come, Father. Let it come.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for the power that is in prayer today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, that you tell us to pray, Thy will be done on earth. Thank you for your power. Oh, Father, we want to live lives.